Blog Talk Radio. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! For though my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes you have.
Though my life you have been so good. Every breath that I am able, the goodness of God.
God is in this place. The Spirit of God is strong in this place. I feel His anointing strong here. If you might have been expecting something, just open your spirit to receive. Whether you're watching us through the networks, open your spirit to receive. This song is entitled Holy Spirit.
Cause you talk to me, Good morning. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Overseer Paula Thorne. I am so glad you're with us this morning as we are at the conference, the Powerful AEN Conference. We are getting set up. We sure pray that you will be here today. There's our member, Blog Talk Radio. Good morning. Come on in and have a seat. Good morning. Amen. Okay. So, as we are here at the conference, we definitely want to be able to share with our Blog Talk family. Some of them are here on site, and some of you are online, and we want to always be available. We are looking at the Hell's Toxic Trio, the book by Ryan LaStrange. We're at Chapter 3, Jezebel, the Spirit of Assassin, and we're looking at those things released through that spirit into the earth realm through individuals that are subject to her seduction. Even though we realize that it's not necessarily a female, the gender is not the thing that is important, but rather it is the characteristics of that spirit, and that spirit is a seducing spirit. It is a deceiving spirit. It is a spirit that perverts the sexuality of man and brings into the picture of man those things that are an offense to God, and allows them, or actually insists and seducing individuals into embracing something because we have not, we have compromised, not because we have compromised. Seductions are used to order the assassination of mighty forerunners in the Word of God, in the spirit realm, in those persons in power that are at work today, tempting and annihilating the destinies, ministries, and spiritual exploits of prophetic leaders. That seductive spirit is aimed at the prophet, because the prophet is the voice of God's message delivered into the earth realm. And so if he can pervert it, if he can cause it to be false, if he can cause it to tremble in fear and hide in caves as they did when Jezebel and Ahab were in power and had the priests being the prophets being hidden away in caves, but they weren't doing what God had ordained them to do. Then the spirit of Jezebel was at work. The spirit of Jezebel was the spirit that caused John the Baptist to lose his head. It came through the seductive perversion of King Herod and his brother's wife and their daughter. And as they provocatively tempted the king, he made a promise. And he wasn't sure. He didn't know what the promise was, but he was so led by the seducing spirit of Jezebel and in excited and in he wasn't enlightened, but he definitely was enmeshed in the sexuality of the daughter. And so he gave her what she asked for, and she asked for the head of John the Baptist, because John the Baptist would not compromise. He said what God told him to say. He stood behind it no matter what, and that's what we have to do. We have to defy. We have to resist that spirit. We need to know it, to identify it, so that it does not take us out, does not take us into its deceptive web and cause us to do things that we really don't want to do. The king really didn't want to take John the Baptist's head. He had opportunity before, and he chose not to. But because he was seduced, he was tricked, he was beguiled into making a promise that he had to keep, making a vow that he had to keep, which would let us understand just how important making a vow is, how important it is to give your word, and how he jeopardized his life because he gave his word and he had to do what he said that he would do, or he would lose faith in the eyes and in the hearts of those that he was trying to lead. And so we need to understand, even from Herod's position and his what he did, he was true to the evil that had overtaken him. He was true to it, even though it wasn't what he wanted to do, even though he was angry and in a rage at John, he still knew not to touch John. But because he had made that vow, because he had said that, because he had opened his mouth, he had to keep what his mouth had declared. And that's the way we need to view this, on the positive side, on the side of the Lord. As we open our mouth to the Lord, then we want to make sure we keep what we say. We do what we have promised, and we become true to our word. Jezebel loves to intimidate prophets and prophetic people. The Spirit wants to send prophets into hiding. It accomplishes it in a variety of ways. As Jezebel was empowered by a weak and wicked leader, her husband Ahab, the true prophet suffered greatly. So we are often the source of others' suffering when we are not in the will of God, when we allow these seducing spirits to overtake us others suffer. They suffer mightily. Not just the prophets, but the whole kingdom suffered. Jezebel's spirit come to push the prophetic anointing in hiding. It comes to tear down prophetic ministries and overwhelm prophetic leaders. It comes to steal the joy, rob the life, zip zap the strength, and quench the power. The prophets were struggling and had little provision. They survived, but they did not thrive. Jezebel will try to cut off the finances of prophetic ministry and prophetic people. Jezebel does not want a sowing into the prophetic voice of the Lord in the earth realm. It wants the prophets dead or hidden and struggling. There is another dimension of the cave that we must think about with extreme honesty. Prophets can be peculiar people depending on their call and their makeup, and they're all different. Just like John the Baptist, he was out in the wilderness. He was doing what most people didn't do, but that's what was the life that was chosen for him. The way they function, prophetic people, we don't always understand them. We misunderstand them. As with any forerunner call, there is a level of frontline warfare that emerges because it's a new thing, because it's something that had not previously been in the earth realm. When it comes from these prophetic voices, it is not always embraced, but there is a warfare against it because the enemy understands the power of it. And we must understand the prophetic, the power of the prophetic, and embrace it. And when we don't, when we see that in so many venues, you don't even hear about the prophetic, that there, that means that something of that fivefold that was established to glorify God and to edify and build up the church is missing. And when that is missing, then the people don't grow and don't thrive. They survive, but they don't thrive. And God wants us to have this life and to have it more abundantly. Jezebel may not be able to put our prophets in literal cages, but it will try to get you to live in a cage of rejection. So oftentimes prophets and prophetic people feel rejected, and they don't want to share the prophetic word because of the warfare that's attached to it. And just not feeling alone, feeling unsupported. But we must determine not to put ourselves in a cave of rejection. We have to understand that God has blessed us with this anointing. When the Jezebel spirits run rampant, it pushes prophets into hiding, into falsehood. They become tempted to say what the people want to hear. They become tempted to be pulled away from the voice of God and listening to the voice of the people. This spirit sends waves of depression over prophets so that they end up alone. They contemplate their demise. They're not happy souls. It releases words of witchcraft and spirit of fear to send the prophets and prophetic people running for their lives, scared, no longer wanting to even be a part of the powerful ministry of the Holy Spirit that has brought this anointing into their lives. Hundreds of years after the actual human being named Jezebel died, Jesus gave this strong indictment of the church in Thyatira because of their allowance of Jezebel's illegal prophetic activity. He was railing against the acceptance of witchcraft in place of authentic prophetic ministry. this realm of Jezebel's spirit is particularly toxic. The Jezebel spirit does its best to establish its own renegade prophetic ministry through seduction. It seduces leaders with gifts, flattery, finances, and false loyalties. Jezebel proves its spirituality with grandiose proclamations of fasting and praying and revelation. The Jezebel spirit is a deeply rebellious spirit that will not submit to ordained leadership in any way, shape, or form, always fighting against the true gospel, against the true spirit of God. The Jezebel spirit is a deeply rebellious spirit that will not submit. A person operating in a rebellious Jezebel spirit can fake it for a time in order to be handed the reins of authority, in order to get your attention, in order to win your favor. They know how to fake it. They know how to make it look like we feel it should look, because they know the word. And so they know the different things that we are looking for. They just have no intentions of giving us God's agenda, but rather theirs. For their agenda is focused on making themselves renowned and great, making themselves the subject of worship and celebration, and not the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jezebel spirit can fake it. It is a dangerous game of deception and seduction in an attempt to wrestle power away from God's ordained leaders, only to fulfill its own wicked agenda. This is the overthrow nature of Jezebel, to take the reins of power from those whom God has anointed and ordained. This spirit will move through people pledging loyalty and allegiance, but it is deceptive. We must understand it is deceptive, and from this deception will burn strange fire. One of the tactics that the Jezebel spirit employs in false prophetic witchcraft and rebellion is witchcraft. Jezebel is a bewitching spirit. To more fully understand this, we must explore the nature of witchcraft. For rebellious is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. You find that in 1 Samuel 15 and 23. The first component of witchcraft is rebellion. This is the Lord's harsh indictment against Saul as he openly disobeyed the instructions of heaven. Because he was king, he thought he could. Because he was king, he thought he would. And when he did, he realized that he had brought down upon his head the judgment of the living God. And so do we when we get out of God's will and try to put our agenda before his. He refused to do what God has said. That's stubbornness. I'm king. I can do this. I've been given this. I have this power. I have this authority. And using it for his own agenda, and not surrendering and submitting it to the will of the Lord. The Lord exposed the root desire of witchcraft in rebellion. The dictionary offers a simple definition of the word rebellion, with opposition to one in authority or dominance. It is no mistake that God's government is established as a theocracy. It is not a democracy with voting, individual rights, opinions, and preferences. Have you ever heard that, well, maybe we should vote about this? You know, you have people that come together and can't come together, and they decide, well, we'll figure this out. We have rights, and we have our opinion, and you should listen to it. And we have our preferences, and they should be taken in consideration. And we're shown here that is a form of rebellion and witchcraft, and that is flowing from that Jezebel spirit. And we are not to allow or entertain it in any way, because that was one of the problems that Christ found with the church. In fact, when we become disciples and disciples of Jesus, we are invited into a lifestyle of surrender. The Apostle Paul, who we know was a powerful early church apostle, referred to himself as a bondservant. And a bondservant was one who had been set free legally but chose to stay in the house of their slavery. To commemorate his decision, the bondservant's ear would be pierced through at the doorpost of the house of the master, in letting him know, this is my allegiance is to him. My allegiance, though I am free, I will serve him freely. And that's what we are to do with Christ. This is a powerful prophetic picture. One who has freed decided to remain. I believe Paul more deeply demonstrated his surrendering lifestyle when he wrote, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. And that's when we understand the importance and the power of doing it God's way. Even though we may have a right to do a thing, it may not be the best thing for us, because the plan for our life is known and dispersed by God in heaven. All things are lawful. He was teaching the church. He was stating that he did not live a life of navigating the narrow road because of laws and legalism, but because of grace. Through Jesus, he had been set free from the law, but he chose to remain attached to the ways of the Lord. He said no to some things because they were not wise for him as an apostle. We must consider our position when we consider our behavior. The bondservant has his ear pressed to the doorpost of the house. He is listening to the heartbeat of the house. This is another prophetic picture. God wants to bring us so in time with his voice and his desire that we hear the secret whispers of his heart and know his ways. This type of intimacy fuels life of power and exploits. This is where miracles, signs, and wonders come from the bondservant's surrender and having his ear to the heart and the house of the master. So we have gone through our lesson for today. The conference is revving up, and so we want to be able to get in line with what we're doing here. We definitely want to invite you to come out. We want to ask that you pray for our candidates as they gather to receive some vital instructions and direction for their awesome day tomorrow. Come out and watch them. They'll be at 9333 Cicero at the Oaklawn Hotel at 6 p.m. promptly. They will be marching in the march of the leaders, a very empowering time of service as we gather under one roof together with one heart, with one mind, desiring to be in position and in the place that the Lord would have us to be, so that we might be useful to the kingdom of God, that we might not be in rebellion or stubbornness or witchcraft, but that we may surrender and submit to the call upon our lives, to the love of Christ for our life. He loved us so much. God loved us so much. He sent his son. Such a powerful love. Such a wonderful love. Such a love that we cannot fully understand. We thank God for that kind of love that he has for us. And so we are grateful for you coming and sharing. And even though it's an abbreviated word from the word today, I pray that it's been a powerful time of review of Jezebel, the spiritual assassin. Her whole agenda is to steal, kill, and destroy. And we've heard that before. And now we can fully understand where that comes from and what it looks like. We know where it comes from. But now we get a picture of what that looks like. Because sometimes we feel, oh, that was back then, you know, and this is now. But no, it has a look of today. Because have you ever encountered someone which had bad character or bad track record trying to dominate you with a prophetic word, a leading, or something like that, and you had a concern? Don't override the check. It may save your life, because the Holy Spirit is going to give you the discernment of those things, and he certainly is going to point out any Jezebel spirit trying to infiltrate your spiritual walk. Jezebel goes after the prophetic. So part of what we're to do is to intercede for the prophetic, and we are to walk in line with the prophetic. We are to walk giving honor to the prophets and those that have the prophetic anointing on them, encouraging and upgirding them to be true to the anointing on their life. It tries to cut off the head. Remember, Jezebel goes for the head and feels, and then the body, the rest of the body will go amok. And so that prophetic is at the head of our instructional process. He tells us what heaven wants us to know. Pray over the lives of those you know who carry a prophetic anointing. Don't talk about them or hiss about them behind their back or decline to listen to them, but pray for them. Pray an anointing on them. Are you keeping yourself in a surrendered lifestyle as a bond servant? Because this is a freedom key. You can be free from those things that are said that are not of God if you have your heart at the heart, your ear to the door of the Lord, to the house of the Lord, and listen. Learn to examine motives. Recognize that the why is as important as the what. Why are they doing it? And you may not know why, but if your prayer is, Lord, why, he will reveal to you that which will save you. Be a person of integrity. Value character, not just gifting. So don't fall in love with the person that is one, but fall in love with the gift that the person has, because that's the part of God that God wants to deliver to you. His gift to you is the gift that he has put into the prophet and those people with that prophetic anointing. Beware of people who have no stability or always want to give a word to others. Beware. Beware, I mean, be alert. Be attuned to the word of God and how people's actions flow through that word. Ministry flows from covenant and relationship. Ask the Lord for a covenant heart, for a covenant heart. So our prayer for today is we thank you, Lord, that we are not deceived, that we hear your voice and obey your leading. We ask for clear discernment, any and all wrong relationships and motives coming into our life. We want to love and value your bride. We want to be a person of mercy and grace. We do not want to accuse, attack, or criticize everyone, but we want to walk in wisdom. Help us, Lord, to walk in wisdom and clear discernment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for being a part of Blog Talk and our conference. At today, we are located at 150 East 124th Place. We'll be here to hold sometime 9 o'clock tonight. We are having quite a few different activities going on. This evening's focus is going to be around fatherless, turning fatherless sons into faithful men. And so there's going to be a service of repentance and empowerment for the men that God is lifting up and bringing to the forefront to do that which has been ordained for them to do. And so we are excited about it, and we ask you to come out and join us and enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Have a good afternoon. Bye-bye.